This hour of Overdrive is powered by Rockstar Real Estate. Local investors make big money in real estate without touching a hammer. How? Go to OntarioRealEstateBook.com. Check out this step-by-step system. It's a must-read. Visit OntarioRealEstateBook.com.
This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
There's some great peeler joints on Young Street. Ever heard of the Brass Rail?
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
So I was watching CP24 today because I guess Doug Ford had a big announcement and caused a big stir.
What's he got to say?
Just about Hydro One and the big sticking point. And
they're all like fending for their jobs right now.
Yeah, and listen, we're in the midst of an election. So over the next 4 or 5 weeks, this kind of stuff is going to be happening, and the news cycle is going to be all over what's going to happen with in terms of Queen's Park. And
right.
So after Doug Ford made the announcement, they went down to Queen's Park, and they were showing Kathleen Wynne at Queen's Park in the chambers, like responding to it.
Right.
But it was Jersey Day, right? Like everyone's wearing jerseys for Humboldt. We all have jerseys on today. So it was kind of interesting to see a politician, like John Tory had a news conference earlier today, and he had a Leaf jersey on. I don't know what jersey Kathleen Wynne had on. But anyway, this is the Ontario legislature. And I have to be honest, my initial reaction when I saw a couple of guys with Bruins jerseys on, I thought, do you even know your constituents? Like, do you realize that you work for people in Ontario, and there's a pretty good chance they're Leaf fans?
Who cares, man? That guy might have grown up and his dad was a Bobby Orr fan.
Let me finish.
I know your move today. You're spitting out stuff and trying to get a reaction.
You didn't let me finish for
okay,
starters.
Okay, go ahead.
Before you swear and puke all over yourself. I actually, as I thought more about it, I respect the move because
kind of
he is such a fan.
Kind
it's
of
a ballsy
there you
move.
Go.
I respect the move.
That is funny.
Like, if
though.
You wear a Bruins jersey in Toronto today, I actually have respect for you.
That is one thing I have respect for, too, because I used to tell, like, my cousin, she's not very tall, beautiful girl, and I'm like, you're going to come to watch me play with the Leafs or Carolina in the New York? Don't wear the jersey. Because these people, they're all drunk, and they're going to start yelling. She didn't care. Just wore it right in there.
It is a little, it's aggressive, put it that way.
I looked at her after the game. Why did you do, like, are you crazy?
I think you just
can you imagine wearing a pack jersey to that stadium in Philadelphia to watch those goons? And, like, I'm not wearing a visiting, people are getting destroyed in there.
I know, it's totally unsafe and unhealthy.
I think the word is, and Brian, you're looking for, is self-awareness. Like, you go in there, you have to understand, okay, so I'm in politics in Ontario. The last thing, I'm going to roll in a Boston jersey, like, okay, ballsy, but self-awareness too. Like, maybe the person is like, absolutely, he's a Bobby Orr fan, it's his right, but I would never do it personally. I'm just not a jersey guy, but to go into, for lack of better words, a hostile environment, I would never, ever put myself in a situation where there'd be a confrontation where alcohol's involved and you know, emotions. This is an emotional situation. The playoffs. And
remember the last time we were down in Boston, a Leaf fan got suckered. Remember that? In 2013, there was a Leaf fan that got suckered by a gutless Bruins fan.
I don't remember it, but I
find the details on that, because I
actually,
do remember that.
Yeah, you know what?
That was a big story.
Something, yeah, does, you know.
There was a Leaf fan walking down the corridor. I want to say it was after Game 5. It might have been Game 7, but I think it was Game 5.
I think I've told you guys this, how terrified I was in Vancouver in 2011, because I was at the finals. And I was wearing a black, just a t-shirt, a bar shirt, because I was going out drinking afterwards. I didn't think, okay, like Vancouver, Boston colors. I was just wearing a black Hugo Boss V-neck. And as I was walking after the game, there was that animosity. Like, people were upset. There was emotional. And we're walking towards the riot. I had to get to Gotham Steakhouse. And I remember thinking, like, there was a couple people, like, chirping me. And I was actually like thinking, okay, I better keep moving and move fast here, because
all hell could break loose. Emotion.
And I'm wearing a t-shirt.
That's losing Game 7 at home of the Cup Final.
Right.
Hunt just looked it up. It was a Leaf fan after Game 2. Game two, he got suckered by some gutless fan down in Boston.
Now, I always look at both sides. Did he chirp? Did he say, don't just stand there and somebody walks up and suckers you. There was usually an altercation.
There was a goon show brawl in Ottawa like a couple years ago in the top level, and people were jumping on top of each other and beating the hell out of
each other. That happens all the time now. Yeah. Video comes out all the time.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right, so we got a guy on the line here.
We got a guy.
He's a Twitter troll right now.
A Twitter troll. That's what we have. We have a Twitter troll. We should all mute him collectively. Ray? Down in Vegas, here's Ray Ferraro.
Ray, we have one question for you.
Yes, sir.
Was that one of those really big chairs, or was that a normal-sized chair?
He's been saving that for a while, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you, I was walking down. Chris Cuthbert and I were going for breakfast. We walked by that store, and I thought of you guys immediately.
What is the store called? You're an Idiot?
No, Stupid Idiocity.
Stupid Idiocity. Yeah, that's Overdrive in
CEO
a nutshell.
CEO Brian Hayes.
That's our slogan.
And so I looked at it, and I'm like, CC, take a picture of me sitting in this damn chair. And I'm just thinking, like, people go into the store. Like, who thought of this idea for a store? Let's call it this. And people will come in and buy whatever the hell they buy in there. I didn't even go in.
Why are you not at Shadow Creek right now?
Really windy today.
I don't care.
Brad May has offered quite kindly a couple of courses that we shall get to during this series.
Pebble Beach, right? Yeah, there's a lot of Canadians that found their way to Vegas.
I think we may be going to LA Country Club, which is pretty damn sweet.
Yeah, you'll be all set up. And if this series goes back and forth and back and forth, you'll have plenty of off days to exercise.
Yeah, there's going to be some time. I don't know about you guys. I was kind of surprised last night that Vegas was as physical as they were. Like, I didn't know they had that in them. I mean,
they were amped up. You could tell.
It ties into the Boston-Toronto series, Ray. It's like, you want to play like this, contain and keep them to the like. If you're not physical in the playoffs, guys will walk all over. And we saw in all the games last night, you have the puck, there's a price to pay. And if you don't want to pay it, you won't have success. And on the other end, if you're not going to make them pay a price, they'll do whatever they want.
Like they were, I don't picture Vegas, because they're not a big team, and I don't picture them, you know, getting after anyone on the forecheck, like in finishing. That fourth line for Vegas was awesome. Not only were they physical, they had a half a dozen really good scoring chances. And that was that Carrier, who Doughty ended up hitting late in the game. I mean, he hit Doughty five times last night. Belmar, who was in Philadelphia, he was outstanding. And Thomas Noshik is a younger guy from the Detroit organization. And they were the best line in the game last night. And they were punishing people everywhere. It is a hard game. Just to what your point was, it is a hard, hard game. That is, there's no easy ways out, that's for sure.
Well, can you picture the Leafs playing that role? I mean, they're the skill, fast team, kind of like Vegas. Can you picture, do they have it in their DNA to be physical tonight?
Well, I don't know that they have to run over people like Carrier did last night, but you know who was really involved last night? That Jonathan Marchessault. The guy's 5'8" or 5'9". Like, you don't have to be a giant. You've got to finish what's there in front of you. You got to be hard on the puck, and if there's a chance to give somebody a little whack in the back of the legs, you got to, like, it's not nice guy hockey anymore. We're done with the 80 games. It's you want to make the guy across from you uncomfortable, and they can do that, sure, but they can't take themselves out of what they are. Like, if Marner and Nylander are running around trying to get hits and then they don't handle the puck, what the hell's the good of that?
Yeah, you're right. They can't do... I mean, to me, it's more about winning those 50-50 battles. And if there's a loose puck, you can still get in there and use your body to try and retrieve it back and have some jam on it. But you don't need to go out of your way to finish a check or run somebody over. If the opportunity's there, don't back down. But I think that they've got to play their game and establish that right away. And we were talking about it earlier, Ray. Winnipeg looked like, for the first 25, 30 minutes, they were kind of wading their way through it and just kind of seeing the tempo. And then they realized, hey, we're a really good team. And you could see those young guys gain more confidence as they realized, okay, the pace may be just as high or a little bit higher, but we can play here. And a lot of those young guys for the Jets, I thought, played really well last night.
Isn't it interesting, though, like we all got into these playoffs for the first time at one time in our careers, and everybody tells you it's going to be faster and more physical and all that, and then you get there. I don't know how you guys were, but I was like, holy crap. Like, it felt like a different world.
Yeah, Ray, didn't it feel like it's like, I'm a skilled guy, but I can't make a damn play out here.
Every time I got it, I got knocked on my ass.
Yeah.
Like, every time, and I'm like, I better start getting rid of the puck here and doing everything faster, because there was no time. And I'm sure those Jets kids last night would have felt that. And I'm sure Toronto's guys felt that last year. And they should be more ready for it now. But Boston's got some young guys that are playing in the playoffs for the first time, too. And so they're going to have to feel their way into the game. And maybe it's you get knocked over a few times, or maybe you get a few shifts in and you go, okay, now I see. I get the puck on the boards, and if there's a little stick battle for it, I better battle for it harder than I did all season, because I'm not going to win any. That's not good enough anymore.
I'll tell you what, I don't miss getting hit, Ray. I don't envy these guys for the money they make, but when you talk about the playoffs, I just wish I could go back and play one more playoff series or one more run, because it's just so fun. All you do is play the games. Nobody cares if you practice. Nobody cares if you work out. You just play the games. It's so much fun.
I was so jealous of those guys last night when they were skating around at the start.
Yeah.
And I actually said during the game, this is when I'm most jealous of the players today.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. You could just see them. Like, they couldn't. The guys sitting on the bench, they couldn't wait to get out there. They were all kind of like leaning forward instead of just sitting there. And then guys were just like exploding onto the ice.
It's awesome.
It was so good. I don't know if you guys saw the opening. So they had like this King and his court came on one end of the ice. And then at the other end, the Vegas Golden Knights guy came on. And there was a duel at center ice, and the Knights. Yeah. The Knights guy killed the Kings guy, and then they went up to the castle. I was like, what the hell am I watching here? And yet, it just seemed just fine or just perfect for Vegas. You know, it was like, it was a show that couldn't go anywhere else, but the place was, you could feel the vibrations under my feet in the building. It was so, so loud.
Yeah.
I loved it. I wouldn't want to see that all the time, but I was like, man, this is outstanding. And then the game started, and Vegas was like, they're going a million miles an hour. And when they scored, like, the cheer of the crowd was so long. Like, you know, you got to wait for it, right, Noodles, before you can make a comment. And I was like, oh, man, they're not stopping.
Ray,
like, it was awesome.
I had this goon corner me in the grocery store today, and this is what he said. He goes, if you go back and look at all the times Plekanec was a pain in the ass to Marchand and all the games he's played against the Bruins, that's why they picked him up at the deadline, and he's going to be a massive factor. I just rolled my eyes and said, buddy, I don't know if that would have been a main factor in the war room in picking up Plekanec. Thoughts?
I would say when Plekanec was in Montreal, he would have been on the ice against Marchand a lot more than he's going to be now.
Yeah. You know who the goon was in the grocery store?
No.
Brian Hayes.
And do you know that it was an Arby's and not a grocery store?
Well,
and
either way, these guys were 30 minutes ago.
You should have heard it.
Completely just said that is the dumbest comment ever.
He actually
made
thought that the brass for the Maple Leafs would have sat in the war room and said, remember all the times he pissed Marchand off and all the experience he's got with the Bruins? That's why we got to get him. And
absolutely.
I said, dude, are you high? Well, like, are you high?
At the trade deadline, they were playing the Bruins. That's who they were playing. They knew who they were playing in the first round.
They didn't know till the last night of the season.
Boston won so many games and Tampa started losing. Go back to the deadline. Tampa was like 7-8 points up. It was over.
Right. It was. They knew. They've known they played for the Bruins for, or played playing the Bruins for a while.
At least back then they thought
the
that
only
they
other
were playing them.
Thing, I mean, Dominic Moore played for the Bruins too. So, you
okay,
know,
but the point I'm making is Plekanec has played 78 games
exactly.
in his career. No one else is close.
Yeah. If the guy was 26, that might be a valid point. He's on the down. He's on the back nine, bro.
But why wouldn't you consider that? Ray, can you please spit
Ray,
some
just
logic
go ahead
here?
And speak whatever you'd like to say.
I don't get, honestly, I know they wanted to add a veteran guy. They weren't comfortable with Dominic Moore for whatever reason, really from the beginning of the year. Even after they signed him, it seemed like he was always on the outs. I don't know how much or if any of an upgrade Plekanec is on Dominic Moore. I don't. He's not more physical. Is he better on the draw? I don't know. I think they're kind of the same. I think Moore skates really well. I don't see as a really large upgrade. Like when they got Brian Boyle last year, I was like, I like that. Now it didn't maybe go as great as it might have, but I liked it because Boyle was big and he can be mean and you know he can. There's still track there. I just don't see it with Plekanec.
Well, as for you know what the Leafs are walking into here, we talked about Babcock yesterday, and you mentioned that he hasn't won a first-round series since 2013, and he's lost six of his past seven. And, oh, you mentioned that Babcock is an X-factor this week coming into the series. And Feshchuk wrote a piece in the Star saying, you know, when he's a big favorite, man, does he coach well at the Olympics with the Red Wings. But as an underdog in the past, it hasn't necessarily gone his way. How much pressure do you think should be on Babcock, is on Babcock, to find a way to win this? Because if it's a coin flip, he keeps saying he's an underdog, but what kind of a factor do you think he has to play here?
I do believe he has got an impact to be made here in the series. I think there's going to be, because these teams are so close, I think there are adjustments that either coach is going to make or can make that will swing a game that might be the turning point of a series. And I think there's pressure on Babcock because he is who he is. He's the most notable coach in the league. He's the highest paid coach in the league. You know, he likes coaching in the biggest market. That's why he came. That's why he came to Toronto. And as much as the money is great and all that, I think inside it, there's a fire to be the best in the biggest market for him. I think it matters. And I don't think that's bad. I just think that's part of how he's wired. So I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself, but his teams have not found a way to win, even when they've been really close. Really close. The year Tampa went to the Stanley Cup Finals, they lost Game 7 in Tampa, 1-0. Well, 2-0. I think they got an empty netter. But before Game 7, Nick Cronwall got suspended in Game 6. So they didn't have, I think, Marek Zidlicky and Cronwall in Game 7. So you get some crappy breaks. That's the way it goes. But they can't, I don't know, I don't see them as an underdog in the series. We've all picked Boston, but that's because we had to pick somebody. I don't see either team as a favorite in this series.
As a player, what's running through your mind? How would you compare and contrast walking out of the building after winning Game 1 and after losing Game 1?
Oh, I think it's the, okay, so you win Game 1. Now if you're on the road, you're like, oh, now we got home ice advantage. Of course, you're pumped. You know, you've got to win 3 of 6, but you've got home ice advantage. If you lose, I'm sure Philly's saying the same thing. It's only one game. It's one game. We got to, you know, now we got to win 4 of 6. I think you look at it whichever way makes you feel best on the way out the door.
Do you believe it, though?
Well, we lost, Noodles, remember we lost 6-0 to the Rangers?
Oh, yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, we lost 6-0 in the opener. It felt like we were down 5-0.
Yeah. Then we bounced back the next night with a 6-0 loss, and then we bounced back with a 5-2 loss, and then a 5-2 loss, and that was the end
of our
season.
Is that the year they won the cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were good.
They were really good. In a fight, we came third.
Yeah, we came in third in that series, and I'll never forget. I felt bad. We were in our own building losing in game four, 5-2, and I was backing up sitting in that little corner, and there was a fan knocking on the glass with an Islander jersey, like waving to me, saying, "We still love you, we still love you." And two Rangers fans suckered him and started smashing his head on the glass,
no way.
He was bleeding everywhere. And I was just sitting there. There was nothing I could do. I was on the other side of the glass.
I'll never forget playing in Long Island when the organist or whatever, it would be dun, 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 and Carolina is at the Islanders, and then all of a sudden the fans just go, "Rangers suck." I'm like, why are they saying Rangers suck? We're here. They're like, they don't care.
Yeah,
the worst part of the Rangers winning the Cup was the 1940 chant died.
Yeah, exactly.
You would be playing anywhere, and they'd start chanting 1940, and I'm like, "This is awesome! I loved it."
Yeah, and then in New York with the Rangers, they would always yell "Potvin sucks." They hated Danny Potvin so badly. Like that's the rivalry stuff. I mean, there is rivalries to this day, but the heated ones have history. Like,
well, when the fans are suckering each other.
That was gross.
That's when it gets gross.
That was so gutless, too.
We mentioned before you came on, back in 2013, when a guy got suckered, a Leaf fan down in Boston after game two. He's listening. He just sent a text. He said, "Hey, guys, I'm a huge fan. It's Kyle. I was the guy who got laid out in Boston."
I would like Kyle to just say what happened. Like, did he chirp? Like, there had to have been an altercation.
Well,
you don't just walk down the street and get suckered.
Send us another text. He said it was his birthday, too.
Oh,
so it was
too
like a
bad,
birthday
Kyle.
Present. He's in Boston. The Leafs won that game, so I guess you came out 50-50.
Having a time. So he's excited, have a few drinks, you get stroked, and then you probably still end up going out having a good time.
Well, there's
an energy, of course. We've all been in crowds. And there's an energy, both good and bad, that you can just feel. We were doing we had a set outside in the finals in Boston. I guess it would have been 2011. And we had to get cops standing behind. Like, these goons would come out and they'd jump up onto the back of the set. And they were, like, not going to climb up, but they were just hanging on the thing.
Bob would have liked that.
Oh, Bob. Yeah, no, Bob was not impressed. And they were shaking the thing, like, it felt unsafe. Like, not that it was going to fall over, but we're like, man, if Boston loses game six, which thankfully they didn't, and it went back, we're like, we're not doing that thing out there. We're going to be a hood ornament.
Oh, they would have loved that. The Canadians down there doing TV, you would have had no shot.
Yeah, we're like, we need to find a new place to do our hit after, because we don't like where we are here.
Yeah, I don't feel safe.
And there's, I don't know what gets, you know, I understand your blind loyalty to your team and all, you know, and the emotion of the playoffs and all that. I've never got the need to see guys in a fight. Like, what the hell? It's got nothing to do with you. Like, why would it matter?
Yeah.
To that extent.
Yeah, no kidding. Like laying someone out because they have the opposite team jersey on.
Yeah. It's...
You might want to get your priorities straight. Little disappointed here, because generally when we have like big news or big statements or big opinions on this show, immediately TSN Hockey's on. It's up on the webpage. We have exclusive audio of Dave Hakstol after the game last night. I haven't seen anything. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we got it. We sent an intern down to Philly, paid for it by ourselves, and said, after the game, you got to go up and ask him what he learned from the game last night. Do you want to hear this exclusive audio?
Of course.
Learn that we are far away from them still. They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
How about that?
That's Christian Wolvend.
That's the Swiss coach, not Dave Hakstol. But
Christian Wolvend.
I could see Hakstol saying that, though.
Well, holy smokes. Like, at what point was that a mercy killing?
Yeah, it wasn't
like that,
good.
I mean, they had a couple of chances early, I guess. I guess Matt Murray made a couple of good saves, but Pittsburgh was just, they were just on another level last night. I don't know if Philly was totally overwhelmed or...
How the hell are you overwhelmed for that?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, like, they
I don't
like,
know.
They just...
It's like, don't you get prepped for the playoffs a little better than that?
Well, yeah, we got prepped. We were really ready. We just talked about it. We lost 6-0. We just weren't, like, I don't think Philly is this bad, but holy smokes, like, that was, that didn't even look competitive.
No.
No, that's an embarrassment. Like, that's sending shockwaves throughout
Seven Cobb is, you're in the locker room saying, okay, boys,
but, you know, excuse me, hello? How many, but here's the thing, though. Whether it's 1-0 or 7-0, you lost. That's it. Like, that's the one thing that you have to say that. Because, yeah, it can hurt your confidence, and it can hurt for 2 days with the media talking about, the fan base talking about it, but you still lost game one. That's it. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's the mindset. You have to have amnesia in the playoffs.
So do you throw a dart at the board for your goalie in game two?
Well, Hextall said that he was going to come back with, his instinct was to come back with Elliott. I mean, I'm fine with it, but I was telling Brian and Jeff, I mean, that's one of the shortest leashes you have. And,
right.
And you throw him out there, and if he can rebound. Like, other guys stunk last night, too. It wasn't Elliott. Like, there was those guys, I was looking at the stat sheet. I think Giroux and Gossespierre and that were like dash five.
But you're not taking them out of the lineup.
No, but my point is they're, if they're getting a pass for one awful game, maybe you do give a pass to Elliott and say, okay, you got one more game here to smarten up.
They only got one thing going for them.
Am I right, Noodles? His last two starts.
Yes.
Like, you got the hoof in Calgary.
Yep.
In game four, and then this one.
Yeah, it hasn't gone very well.
And yeah, so I don't know how you regroup. I guess you have to, but I was surprised at, you know, like, how that game spread out. When Malkin scored on the backhander to make it 3-0, he went by the Flyers like they were in running shoes.
Yeah.
Like, he just blew through them, and then by the time Crosby got into the act, it was like, that was a beatdown.
We've got the NHL Network in here, and Tyson Nash, I guess, is down there in Vegas.
He must have lost a bet, because he's wearing a drape on his...
Looks like he shot his grandparents' couch and made a shirt out of it.
You've got to see this shirt.
I just took a picture of it and sent it to him. I texted it to him and said, like, you're on TV. You're not on radio. Like, he's on national TV with that thing on.
You got to find him, Ray.
Well, I'll see him tomorrow for sure. Now, you know who else had a pretty good get-up yesterday was the sheriff, Shane Knighty.
Well, the sheriff, that's...
He can pull it off.
Yeah, in Vegas, you've got to have some sort of...
He had
of...
these shoes, guys. They were gold and black. and they had, like, a stripe on them. And so we were talking in the group after, and he walks up and Tyson Nash sees him. He's like, hey, turn around. Do those things have 9.5 on the back?
The bowling shoes.
Outstanding.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, try to get some sleep tonight or do something. I don't know what you do
last
in Vegas.
Night got a little, last night was a little later than it needed to be, but, you know, it's a new day today. Over to Topgolf, I think, once I finish with you donkeys. And
I've heard that place is awesome.
Amazing. The top floor is a pool. People rent it out. And I guess they hit some shots from up there, but it's basically a pool that you rent with your buddies, and who knows what the hell's going on up there. So I don't think I'll be up there, but yeah.
Sign me up for the pool.
Yeah.
I don't need to hit golf shots. I want the pool.
Belly flop right in
there. The one thing that I was going to go to the pool a little earlier. This is how tired I was, though. I'm like, God, then I got to go get like suntan lotion. I'm too tired. I'll go later.
Well, you're going to L.A. in a couple of days, so you can save it up for that town, too.
Yeah, there's nothing to do there either.
No.
But this morning, Cuthbert and I were going for breakfast. In front of us were these seven women, and they were looking at the menu, and they're like, they say to the hostess, nah, we're not going to eat. We're just going to go in and grab a couple drinks. It was 9:30.
Of course. Just keep it going.
That's outstanding.
In Vegas, baby.
Don't judge them, Ray.
Spirit animals. All right, buddy, enjoy it tonight. Try to watch the Leaf game if you can.
Oh, we are. Sportsbook, we'll be in there at 4 o'clock.
All right, buddy, enjoy it. We'll do it tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you later.
Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Leafs Bruins tonight, 4 other games on the docket, too. We'll tee those up throughout the afternoon. Bobby Mack in studio in about an hour. Jack Armstrong on the Raptors. We know who they're playing in the first round.
Hello!
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Jack Armstrong coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. We know who the Raps are playing in the first round. They got the Wizards. We've been talking about this throughout the afternoon. I think four defeats over the past handful of years, over the past decade, have been the most difficult ones to digest and to deal with if you're a Toronto sports fan. When the Wizards swept the Raps back in 2015, when the Bruins beat the Leafs back in 2013, when the Royals beat the Jays in the ALCS, and when the Tribe beat the Jays in the ALCS, and over the next 4 or 5 days, the Leafs are going to play the Bruins, the Raps are going to play the Wizards, the Jays are in Cleveland this weekend, and then they're at home against Kansas City early next week. It is redemption time for the Toronto sports fan, and if you want to go see a Raptors game, we have probably the best and easiest and most likely way to hook you up. Check us out on Instagram at TSN1050, where you can enter to win a pair of tickets to Game 1, Raptors versus the Wizards. Follow us, like the post, and tag a friend for your chance to win. We will randomly draw a winner tomorrow on Overdrive right here between 4 and 7 p.m. Playoff ticket giveaways from TSN 1050 are delivered by Skip the Dishes. I got to get in on that, man. Skip the Dishes, such a great idea. They deliver your food.
I know. I haven't done it yet, but it's probably
I'm doing
my
it
next
during the
call.
Playoffs.
For sure.
100%. On Instagram at TSN1050. You guys see Donaldson in the news because he didn't come in and pinch hit in the ninth last night?
Yeah.
Melee got on base. It was a two-run game. And immediately, the conspiracy theories start up. Like, is it dead arm? Is it his shoulder? Is something else going on?
Right.
I don't think it's that complicated. I think Donaldson is committed to, if I have an off day, I'm not warming up. Like, they went and asked him afterwards. He's like, I'm not warming up. It's too cold. Like, if I'm not playing, I ain't playing. And that's why Travis was the guy who pinched hit last night. And the thing is, Devin Travis has a lot of injury problems, too. They've set up a program for him where he's going to miss one out of every three games, and I think what was on display last night was the pecking order. Donaldson and his plan is more important than the plan that features Devin Travis. So yeah. If you're cold, Travis, I don't care. Go run some laps, warm up. You're going to pinch hit because we're not getting the bringer of rain to knock the dust off and go hit. I think it's that simple, and that's what happened last night.
Well, I don't mind that. It's like sometimes you got to tell a guy you're off and you're off. You're
exactly.
Not, no matter what.
Exactly. Like conventional.
Sometimes
you have to set your schedule. You got to make sure that, like, Donaldson is obviously playing for the Jays, but he's got to play for himself here too. And from a medical standpoint, you got to make sure to give yourself the best opportunity, not playing at 80%, 70%. Like, you got to get close to 100. So I'm fine with it, but it was trending online. Like, there were people upset about it.
Well, conventional wisdom would suggest if you have that bat on your bench in the ninth, he pinch hits. And guess what? In September, if it's a big game, he will.
Yeah.
They'll change the program. But game 13, mid-April, they're not changing the program.
No.
They're not going to do it. They have to be committed to it. They've had too many problems over the past few years with injuries, mm-hmm. where guys have been way too beaten down, and by the end of the year, they completely fade, and they're committed to a program. I'm sure it's impossible for Gibbons to accept it, but he has to, and he has so far. Like, that would have been eating away at Gibbons last night. He's an old school. He would have looked at Donaldson he would have been glaring at him. Like, I can't believe I committed to this.
Yeah, and you do. I mean,
but you have to.
Be like Austin Matthews sitting on the bench. You need a goal.
Exactly.
And you got a power play.
And he's like, I told you, I'm not going.
I'm good. Yeah.
We committed to this. I'm not going on the ice.
It is tough.
It's April. It's early.
I know.
Crazy stuff going on throughout baseball. Do you guys see the two brawls? Like the Rockies, Padres. You see Mark McGwire get involved last night?
He looked compared to when he played.
He's still a big
He's
boy,
still
though.
A beast, and I would not want to screw around with him.
Because he is 6'6", but he doesn't look like...
He was playing a stopper lot. Like, he got in the face of Arenado and was like, cool your jets.
I know.
Or else I'll take care of you. And Arenado was like,
okay.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I got you.
Thanks, Big Mac.
I know they call it a bench-clearing brawl, but there's a lot of fluff going on.
Here's the thing.
Like, do you really ever see toe-to-toe?
I thought about this.
And the guys are running from the dugout. Like, we got to get there.
Well, the pitcher beans the batter. The batter goes charging out. The one pitcher throws his glove and then does the tough guy backpedal.
That was the Pods pitcher. He was running for his life.
Here's the thing. Nothing better than Bryce
Harper. I would have loved for everyone go, Okay, you two square off.
Right.
Go at it.
Everyone run in and make a big circle.
You want to throw a ball at a guy at 90 miles an hour? You better back it up.
But this is the thing about conventional wisdom in baseball. The old school guys are looking at Tyler Austin, the Yankee player who got hit, and said, dude, you deserved it because of the way you slid into second on Brock Holt.
Right.
Like, that's how it all started. That was the ridiculous bench-clearing part, because they all met at second base and just talked for a while and then was like, no, we're not going to do anything. Right. And then in the seventh, Joe Kelly beans him. He threw twice at him. He missed him the first time, and then he hit him the second time, and Austin went crazy. Yeah. But the reason they were going at him was because Brock Holt was pissed that he had us, you know, he slid into second with his cleats up, and he got him. And you're not supposed to do that in baseball, and I understand why any second baseman, shortstop, what have you, wouldn't like that. But I'll say this, Tyler Austin, he's going to get suspended because he clocked the third base coach for Boston.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Across.
Like late in the scrum, he was throwing
came
recklessly.
Over top of the top rope.
Yeah.
And right in the temple, kind of in the side of the head.
Right in the temple.
Yeah.
And these two teams, you know, they hate each other. There's a long history between them. And
well, at least the Yankees won that one, I believe.
They did hold on last night. Yeah. So it's 1-1 in the series.
I don't mind a little dust up here or there, but I just... If you're going to fight, fight. If not, don't. And I always felt as a batter, you're so helpless. You're standing there. You know maybe something's coming. Like, you're just about to get beaned. Like, that would hurt so bad.
That kind of weather, how cold it was, got him square in the back.
Oh.
It was going at a pretty good clip. He played ignorant afterwards. He's like, I had no idea I was getting thrown at. I'm like, so let me get this straight. The first one that just missed you, you didn't think the second one was coming too?
Yeah.
Like, after he just missed you, you had to be thinking he's going to follow through and get me.
Would you not stay
That's
out of
That's when I come running. You, two of them? I'll take one as an accident, maybe. Two of them, I'm charging the mound.
That's what he did.
He did. He'd had enough. I bring the bat with you a little bit. Like, do something. Just rattled me.
If a pitcher's going to throw a glove and awkwardly throw a glove.
He threw it like way over his head, too.
Nothing was as awkward as Bryce Harper throwing his helmet and missing by 15 feet.
Yeah, he was.
Remember that?
That was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was pissed, though. Like, he came out guns blazing.
He did miss, though, by a lot.
Yeah, but like, I think he probably realized, hey, I'm going to throw my helmet. I better not connect with this guy because that's a... That's a Cuban assassin move from Stampede Wrestling, a foreign object.
Yeah, you bring that into the ring, you're in trouble.
You can't bring that into the mix.
No. All right, Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst, looking ahead to the playoffs. Raptors, Wizards, Saturday afternoon at 5:30 tip-off. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. Jack will have the call. Catch up with him at 6:10. Bobby Mack in studio in the 6 p.m. hour as well. It's a Maple Leaf playoff game night. We've been waiting 12 months for this. We keep teeing it up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
Are you thinking about a way to make money investing in real estate but don't want to rip out walls or fix leaky toilets? You don't have to. I'm Nick Carranza with Rockstar Real Estate, and we've become one of Canada's fastest-growing companies by helping investors profitably invest in nice homes in nice areas. The system we've used is outlined in our book, Income for Life for Canadians, which sells on Amazon. But you can get your free copy at OntarioRealEstateBook.com. Free, no strings attached, just go to OntarioRealEstateBook.com.
Jerseys for Humboldt Day. A lot of people wearing hockey jerseys throughout the country, and I'm supporting the cause. I've got my Marlies jersey on. This is vintage Marlies.
Yeah, it's a classic. I had my Barry Colt jersey on, Brian Hayes, captain, but it was just too hot. I was sweating. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It is pretty warm in here to begin with, and I've got the full jersey going anyway, but I'll keep supporting it. I got an Argos one, too. Yeah. So, like, I'm not generally jersey guy. I do have one. I have an Aaron Rodgers knockoff Pacific Mall special that I was going to wear.
Pacific Mall.
Right out of the Pacific
Bought
Mall.
Bought it for $6.
Yeah. It's like Rodgers without a D. And instead of 12, it's like 21. Yeah,
exactly. It still looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. It's the colors and everything. And
that's funny.
But I went to grab it today. I was thinking, you know what, I'll bring this in. And that'll work too, right? It's yellow and green, just like, you know, the Saskatchewan colors, the Humboldt Broncos colors. It'll be perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm such a slob whenever I wear it watching football. I pulled it out of the closet, and there's just a massive stain right down.
Like pizza or something?
It's pizza or wings. It's so red and just gruesome and gross. And
you didn't wash it? Or you just...
No, I haven't washed it. Well, it's a Pacific Mall knockoff. Like, it's probably not even... If I got this thing dry cleaned, it would just evaporate. It would just disappear.
It would just turn into nothing.
Yeah, it would turn into dust.
That's funny.
So...
All right.
I was thinking, you know, do I bring it in? But then if I do and one of you guys spot it and you go, what the hell's on the tube?
Oh, for sure.
I'd never live it down.
No, so you would never. I agree. You had the right thought process.
Yeah. I think, you know, my heart was in the right place, but the fact that I was such a slob the last time I wore it, I figured I shouldn't do that.
Were you Griffin?
Probably, because this jersey's pretty big.
So you were in full swing.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, I find during the playoffs, I could put an ass groove into a couch.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything can match a Sunday during the NFL season. It starts with the pregame show at like 11 a.m. You know, you're on the couch at 11. The Sunday nighter ends around 11:30. You're putting in a 12-hour shift. That doesn't happen.
But you watch all the pregame shows?
I watch a lot of them if I have the opportunity.
Wow.
It's a primer, right? It's a part of the routine. It doesn't matter what channel you're watching, yeah. But you know, every week is a new week. You want to know about the matchups. I'm a fantasy guy.
Yeah, but I still think that that's quite aggressive.
Are you calling me a degenerate loser?
No, I'm just thinking that's a lot. Like, games start at 1, and you're on the couch at 11.
I don't really have the luxury of doing that anymore.
You're probably out in the yard and chasing things around.
But. I wish I had the ability to do that. But when I was, not necessarily single, but when I was living on my own or whatever, out the night before, you sleep until 10:30 or 11 anyway.
Yeah.
You get up and you're like, I'm just going to put in a shift here. I haven't done that in a long time. I would like to revisit that.
You probably haven't slept in past 10 o'clock.
Yet. No. Years. Even when I have the opportunity. Like if the girls are away... I just naturally wake up, and I'm like, what happened to the old slob I used to be that could sleep in?
It's gone away.
Speaking of fantasy, I never got into this. I was at my dad's pool a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this before. Like, they've been doing this, him and his buddies, for like 35 years.
Okay.
Some guys have come and gone, but for the most part, like, the core have been doing it for a long time. And it's one of the only pools that I know of where they actually still get together in person. Everything's online.
Yeah, so right? they're at somebody's house.
We go to a bar. We've been going to different bars for years now. It used to be at my house. I remember as a kid, like, all these goons would show up. There'd be like 15 middle-aged men that would come in.
But would your dad, like, provide drink and food?
Yeah, and he would set up, like, whiteboards, and, you know, everyone draws cards for the picks, and you go through.
So this is a professional setup.
Oh, this is really big time. And the Leafs been in the playoffs. There's so many Leaf fans there.
Yeah.
The only guy that is dressing tonight that didn't get picked is Roman Polak.
Really?
Everybody else on the Leafs got picked.
In a pool?
In a pool. 10 rounds, 14 guys, I believe. So do the math on how many. There's 16 teams in the playoffs.
So Ron Hainsey was picked.
Ron Hainsey, I believe, was picked. Dermott was picked. I took Kapanen in the final round. Plekanec was picked.
Is this through the league, like 16 teams?
So, once the guy gets picked, he's off the board.
Right.
Right? So, you know, first round, Crosby goes first, then Malkin, then Phil.
Right.
I'm telling you, by the end of the pool, every single Leaf had been picked except for Polak. That's how crazy Leaf fans are. Because, like, other really good players would have been available.
That's what I'm saying.
On, like, other teams.
But, like, even you didn't realize that?
I'm like, forget it. I'm not taking Travis Konecny. I'm going to take Kapanen. Because I want to believe the Leafs can go that far. Like, that's how much I think people are freaking out here. That a hockey pool where you could take anybody if they're available.
Right.
Ron Hainsey's getting picked. Travis Dermott's getting picked. Like, Komarov's getting picked.
But, like, Ron Hainsey's getting picked over, like, Joel Armia from Winnipeg.
Yes. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, that's idiotic.
It's crazy.
I know.
But, like, it's a Leaf fan who they've been waiting a long time for them to be back in the playoffs, even though they were there a year ago. And Leaf fans have lost their mind.
But, like, Nick Bonino, like, did he get picked?
I think he got picked in the last round, which means there were probably 15 Leafs taken ahead of him.
Wow.
15 Leafs taken ahead of him.
That's
how crazy
is
that?
That's some diehard love.
Oh, yeah, that's for belief. Sure. Like, I took Matthews in the first round because I figured whatever. I'm thinking, by the way, by the time I get back up, I'll take Marner, Nylander, Cat. They're all off the board by the time I picked again.
Wow.
Leafs were going off the board as if they were cup favorites and nobody else was in the league. That's Toronto in the spring.
Yeah.
That's why I love this city. Game one tonight, Leafs-Bruins. We'll tee it up. Jack Armstrong will join us. Bobby Mack in studio. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. This hour of Overdrive is powered by Rockstar Real Estate. Local investors make big money in real estate without touching a hammer. How? Go to OntarioRealEstateBook.com. Check out this step-by-step system. It's a must-read. Visit OntarioRealEstateBook.com.